You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
JSE has closed its doors for another day, and it's been, I think, quite a good day on the JSE because it's been boosted by some fairly decent results from JSE-listed companies and also a really, really good overseas market position. But, of course, that can change in the flick of a tweet. With me is Greg Davies, our tame commentator from Kratos Capital in Johannesburg, and also this evening it's David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities. David, Woolworths, first of all. You're a Woolworths fan. Mm. You go there and buy your sweets. You go and buy your meat-free burgers. And what did you make of the results?
Still tough times ahead. You know, if you go through them, I mean, the share price did pick up today, but second half starting to show elements of improvement and that. But overall, I still think that things are very difficult. You know, I was talking to Alec Abraham, and I actually tweeted this, going through all the numbers. And what he says is that retailers are experiencing perhaps the toughest time in decades. And a lot of them are conserving cash, pulling back old stores, closing some stores that are unprofitable, yes, not going ahead with the many stores. And I think that sets the background to where we are. I must tell you something what struck me, though, in Woolworths' results, and is that, you know, in Sydney, Elizabeth Street is right in the middle of the heart of Sydney. It's not suburban, it's right there. And I see what they're trying to do is lift the offering to almost a Selfridges type offering or a Saks Fifth Avenue, Bloomberg, where they get these very not affordable brands, but aspired brands like Christian Louboutin and shoes like that, which no one in their sane mind would ever buy, but there are people that do it. And I find that interesting because they might change. They might be able to, pick it up and become one of these destination stores, for visitors and for travelers and for those who want to impress.
But, David, I thought the department store was defunct now or debunked. I didn't think that people wanted to go to department stores anymore. They want to go to little niche stores. What is your interpretation?
Shame I had Greg hasn't had a chance to talk to them. But what's very interesting, and I think I might have spoken to you about this before, but when I went in, and I'm going back to the States in October, but when I went into Saks Fifth Avenue in New York, the whole ground floor has changed. Instead, they're offering bags now instead of the normal cosmetics and which used to be the main attraction. You do the same in most of the big stores there. I saw it in Selfridges as well. So bags and accessories, leather goods, and those very, very attractive goods are now what's bringing in consumers for the experience. Who's that talking there?
What is going on in the background there? What's going on? Did you ask those people to talk about this, Greg?
Is that Ronnie? I'm trying to talk about him. I'm sorry.
No, sorry, David.
Greg, do you ever go to a department store? I remember when I first came to South Africa in 1988, I used to go to Stutterford's. And Stutterford's, to me, was quite high-end. But now, from what I understand from retail analysts, is that the department store is now a dying concept. Greg?
Yeah, I think David's right. Now, I was in New York in 2017. They still sort of, when there's heavy foot traffic, they still have those type of department stores, and you sort of can't walk past a counter without someone saying to you, why don't you come and have a look at this? More salesman thing. I mean, it's just sort of unheard of, in Willys in South Africa. You can't find anybody to help you find your sizes.
You know what, Greg? You know what it is? It's like making it an experience. That's what they want to do. When you go in there, you get a kind of experience that you're not going to get online. And I think that's the luxury experience. That's the difference that I'm seeing.
Yes,
look,
I
believe me,
touch and feel.
I promise you, I always say to my wife, when we go past the shoe counter and there's Christian Louboutin, those are the ones with the red underneath. And, they're painted red. And I say, please sit next to these shoes because this is the closest you're ever going to get to them.
Yes, but what do you spend on your running shoes?
No, please. Greg, you're in a different category. You're talking thousands here. My running shoes are – I still use the Nike Air, whatever it is.
That's 2,000 rand a pair, right?
Yeah. But these are in the region of 10,000 plus. Yeah.
No. Okay. No. I don't even ask
for a price. Yeah. No. Never take a credit card into these places. If ever you go down, you know, Fifth Avenue or Madison or wherever you are, shop without your credit card. Just sober up. And if you really want it the next day, you'll come back and fetch it.
Anyway, back to the real world. Do we buy Woolworths or not, David Shapiro? Do we buy Woolworths or not? It's 25% up from its lows.
I'll let Greg go. I'll give
you. David, because funny enough, your name came up in the morning chat, and I was just looking at the impairment, and we thought it seems they reorganized the impairment on that David Jones and moved it down. The other thing which I suppose caught the eyes is the drop in dividend, the dividend down 20%. The share price up 3% today, R53.93, well up from its recent, I think, the low this year is in the low 40s. So it kicked on quite nicely. I think market appreciating the effort they've put in.
So what David Shapiro is saying, he's fudging the issue now. He doesn't want to tell me whether he's going to buy it or not. No, are you a buyer or a seller or just neutral on it?
Are you talking to Greg or me?
I'm talking to you.
No, I'm not buying the retailers. No, I still think they've got very tough times ahead. I don't think we've seen the bottom yet. You know, I think yesterday I got a feel that things were improving slightly, and it was quite a nice day, and I thought, okay, let me relook at it. But the more I go into numbers, you know, I think maybe I was influenced by Motus and I was influenced by Imperial.
So
but when I look at, you know, when I look at Massmart's numbers today, when I look at Woolies' numbers today, and across the board, I say, no, there's still tough times ahead. There's no sense in terms of the outlook that we're going to see a quick turnaround or any sharp turnaround in this economy. I still think the consumer is under a lot of pressure. So I'm holding off. I'm not ready to look at anything yet.
Greg Davies, Massmart Holdings Limited, came out with an interim results statement and also a trading statement. The share price rising 8.6% though. And I looked at these numbers and I thought they were pretty ordinary, not awful, but they were ordinary. Yet the share price rallied. Maybe people were expecting worse.
Well, the share price had been hammered down. The good fellows at Goldman Sachs put out a sell on it about a week ago. They were probably on the bid. But the share fell. It's trading around the time around 44, and they had a target price of 38, and it more or less visited there at the low this morning. But as people looked through those numbers, it did bring a little bit of buying. And I think what's probably happened is because we've seen such sort of negative impact on a company like ShopRite, people were expecting something really bad from Massmart. So it was priced for relatively bad numbers. I think they did relatively well in this difficult economy. And then the share price bouncing back up 7.8% to R42.69. So I think what David was saying earlier is right. We've had Motus and Imperial and a couple of companies bring out better results than the market is expecting. And it started to feel like perhaps there's a little bit of green shoots, but it was maybe a little bit too soon.
It's an interesting comment you just said, green shoots, David Shapiro. It may not be a V-shaped recovery, but on the other hand, if there are green shoots, maybe the downside is limited to the recent lows that we've seen, and maybe we should start to accumulate these stocks like Woolworths. I mean, if you'd have bought Woolworths at 42, 43, you would be 20% to 23% up now.
I think that's what's going to happen. I think what you've said is perhaps what's likely to happen, you know, nibbling at these kind of levels, saying that it can't go lower. I've got no desire to, you know, to do that at this point, because I just don't have a very I haven't got a clear horizon of where this economy is going and whether it's going to get worse before it's going to get better. So what you might be saying is correct, that the worst is being discounted in the share price. But it doesn't mean that the numbers we see on the economy and other issues we see on the economy are over yet. So I just don't get that feeling that we've seen the bottom in this market yet.
Do you know what I think? And this is a pure layman and broadcasting point of view here. Is I think that the market has plunged when it comes to retail stocks. They've bounced back. They're going to come back to their old lows, and then they're going to rally again.
Yeah.
So I don't think you buy them now. I think you wait for them to go down to the old lows. I mean, 8.5% up for Massmart, which is a company not on its knees, but it's certainly under a lot of pressure. It will come back again. and then you start to nibble away at the end of year, Greg.
Yes, perhaps that is. You know, obviously, don't sort of fill your boots right now. But if you do believe there's a beginning of a retail turnaround, it may still be sort of only into next year. Maybe start building a position. You know, taking small amounts of stock of these quality counters on dips, really. But I think David's right. There's no reason to go all in now.
I just called the Massmart chart up here. In front of me, and this is the worry. At the beginning of 2018, we were 176 rand a share. We dipped to 116 rand a share. And then for almost a year, we tracked sideways to about the beginning of the month. Beginning of the year. We were 116. We then dipped, and that's why I'm saying, we then dipped in the next few months to 91, and we dipped again. But all the time before these dips, there was a steadying period where we moved track sideways for a bit and then another leg downwards. Mm. And that's what's concerning me. So it's very hard on a podcast to try and explain, what we're seeing. Yeah. It goes down, stabilizes, and you get a false sense of security that it might turn. Does another down leg, and then get a false sense of security. What I'm worried about is, hold on a sec, this can happen again. You know, these patterns can recur. There's no sense that it's going to necessarily turn up. So and we've seen, if you look at ShopRite, you're going to see a very, very similar pattern as well, and maybe in Woolworths as well. Nothing that gives you the comfort that this is going to get better.
ShopRite worries me, actually, and I've spoken to people outside of our podcast forum, and people are worried about ShopRite. But anyway, that's not the point. The thing that worries me is that South Africa could be at the bottom when it comes to its domestic economy and its domestic spending patterns, and therefore its consumer stocks. And on the other hand, we could have this 15-20% sell-off in the overseas markets, and then we will get clattered simply because people press the sell button, not because of domestic issues.
Yeah.
That could happen. We could be scuppered by overseas influences.
Yes, you sent me that chart earlier, showing this sort of net outflows of foreigners selling our equities and our bonds, really. And it's quite troubling that seems to be picking up momentum. Really, we need some foreign investment inflows into the market just to, when these shares start to turn around, that there's actually someone to start buying the stocks.
Advitech came out with its results today. Revenue increased by 15% to 2.5 billion from the restated 2.175 billion in the prior corresponding period. David Shapiro, Advitech. It's a nice little company, I think. It's not a little company. It's a good company.
Yeah. You know, if you want to go into education, I think that I'd rather be in Advitech than maybe in Curo or in Stadia. You know, both of those other companies need to spend a lot more to keep their growth going, whereas Advitech has got it. You know, it actually covers both secondary and tertiary education as well as other forms of education, in other words, training and that. I've always liked it. It's always been a very steady, solid performer. And people are quite prepared to pay. It's amazing the lengths that people will go to actually educate themselves or to improve training. But, fairly decent business. And it's not a bad, if you look at the, I've just got to correct myself now. If you look at the performance of this year, it hasn't been bad. It's been horrible.
I'm doing what you were doing with a Massmart. If you go back to mid 2018, share was around 16 rand 19, exactly the same. It keeps on putting in new lows. It was a typical bear market sort of technical analysis situation here. Yeah. And then just as you think, the 11.90 has found exactly some support, that. There's a rally, and then it puts in another low.
So it's one of those where everything seems to be good on the face of it, and yet the share price performance is really very, very difficult. And I can't, I'm not I'm not a technical analyst in the sense of it, but I like to see where people are buying the share and selling a share. And I think if you look at most of South African companies, the sellers are still in the ascendancy. There's no sense that anybody wants to come. It might come with with some change in the political climate. You know, Tito Mboweni is really trying. He's putting himself out there and trying to come up with a plan, which was a cut and paste of probably a lot of other papers that he found lying around, you know, by previous ministers of finance.
That's quite cynical, David. David, that's quite a cynical comment you've just made there.
Yeah, I think what David's saying is there's nothing groundbreaking. Yeah. There's nothing, and there's no implementation. There's no dates. It's a lot of pie in the sky, really.
What we need is a Boris Johnson in South Africa. What do you think now? Somebody who actually says,
or a Donald Trump.
No, never.
If we could just build a wall between here and Zimbabwe and Mozambique, we'd solve a lot of problems.
Okay, let's have a look at the spot prices now before you two get political. Dollar rand is 15.30, British pound against the rand is 18.66, and the euro rand is 16.93, with the euro dollar at 110.65. That's a creepingly strong US dollar and a weak euro, despite the fact that Italy has apparently tried to sort itself out. On the gold market, just hold a second. At 15.38, the gold price, I just can't wait. Tomorrow it's going to do it. Gold's going to go through 15.50 tomorrow and explode. 15.38, the gold price down three. The platinum price is up another $29, Greg Davies, at 9.32. And platinum is doing what?
A palladium, yes, up at 14.87. It's interesting. Maybe David's got something, but I'm not sure what's pushing that platinum price. It's normally sell the one and buy the other with the platinum and palladium. But I haven't seen it.
Greg, I think it's all the move of. I think this is this move into safety, to safe havens. Yeah. You know, the attraction of gold is attracting people into silver, and I think platinum has an association with. Being a precious metal or a safety metal, you know, and you don't need, it hasn't got the breadth of gold, but you only need a few people to start buying it to trigger this kind of stampede. If you look there, we've been here before. You know, we were here a couple of times during, I think earlier on the year, we bounced to the 900 a couple of times. I think if we can hold us, there could be a better run. I think we tend to forget where platinum has come from. So these are by no means lofty levels for platinum.
But you remember, for years and years, the platinum price was above the gold price. Probably the first 20 years that I worked in this game, that was always going to be $100 ahead, and then obviously that's all changed around. But it might be, well, be the case. People might think, okay, gold is a safe haven, but it's run too hard. Where else can we put some money on? Let's go to palladium.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think this is associated with an increase in demand. I think this is the precious metal bulls. There are millions of them coming out the woodwork now, you know, all over
They're
the
all
place.
Got my phone. Sorry. Give them my phone number.
I will. No, thank God for you. I mean,
when you two have finished reminiscing, I'll reminisce as well. my second marriage, I bought a platinum wedding ring. And the price was $1,600 an ounce there, and I've still got it. Obviously, I'm losing about 85%. Mind you, the rand is probably weaker today. So, but anyway,
probably been compensated by weaker rand. Plus, you must have had a lot of fun in the marriage,
Greg. that's another story. Greg, give us the Dow Jones, etc., because it really looks very, very good indeed on the overseas markets.
Yes, I mean it's looking the Dow's kicking on from those yesterday gains up 296 points. You know, it's been indicated the whole day by the futures there, so not unexpected. The Nasdaq is also strongly up 113 points. S&P at the moment up 30. So across, Donald Trump's still doing a great job that time.
David Shapiro, on the Donald Trump story, please tell me, please counter what he's just said.
Well, I think the story today, you've got to love him again. You know, yesterday, I think I can't get the tweet correct about his attack on Jay Powell about, you know, not having the mentality of, or the mental, I don't know what he called it, whether it's the mental gymnastics or mental ability of the other the other finance ministers, particularly in Europe. And today he went at him again, urging him, if the Fed would do what they should, we are a rocket upwards, meaning about the economy doing great, tremendous upside potential. That's after the economy came in lower than originally expected, at 2% for the second quarter. And what happens is they're going to miss their 3% target, you know, that's which I think is Trump's target. So, you know, he's having a full go at Jay Powell all over again. But the market's very strong. I think the Chinese are taking a more conciliatory role approach in terms of tariffs. And I think it'll probably lead to talks. And I think Trump also just taking a step backwards and also making the right overtone. So that's why the markets are up today.
On the upside, we've got Northern Platinum up 7.5%, Cap up nearly 6%, Woolies a 4.1% gainer, Roynet up 3.9%, and Sibanye Gold up almost 3%. On the downside, Imperial down 3.33%, Truworths down 2.4%, Bidvest down 2.2%, and Motus, after a really good day yesterday, down 2.1%. Greg, any of those that caught your eye rather?
Yeah, Bidvest were a little bit disappointing, coming down in the afternoon, really. And I think it's due for results in the next 2 weeks or so. So it's troubling that it's performing so bad ahead of results.
David Shapiro, your shock of the day or your surprise of the day?
Surprise of the day, Platinum. And yes. just to give you an idea, with the Platinum price at these levels in Rand, we're actually at 13,000, about 890, some thereabout in Rand. The last time we saw a Rand platinum price of this nature was back in 2016, exactly 3 years ago. So that, you know, from the platinum producers, yes, ignoring the costs, it gives you an idea what the weak Rand, together with this little bit of a surge in platinum price, has done to the platinum market.
You see it in the top five there, the Northam up 7.5%. That's been overlooked.
Yeah.
In the platinum run. And Sibanye, obviously, the similar story.
Yeah.
Up 3%.
You know, whereas platinum itself was at 900 odd or these kind of levels back in April or thereabouts, and that, I think the Rand platinum price is the best we've seen in about 3 years.
Greg, the JSE indices, please.
Sure. So it's at the end of the day, the bank's down 1%, financials down 0.55%, industrials down 0.71%. Actually, a lot of these steps backwards were in the last hour or so of trade. Retail is up 1%. That's probably helped by Woolies. Gold index actually pulled back a little bit today, down 1.7%. The Platts David spoke about, that index up 2.76%. That left the all-share up 0.29%, 156 points. At 54,411, you know, the intraday high was probably about 400 points above that. So we did pull back towards the afternoon.
Value the volume?
Trade 18.76 billion.
Gentlemen, thanks so much for your time. That's Greg Davies, who is the head of wealth at Kratos Capital, and he was joined this evening by David Shapiro from Sasson Securities at Merrill's Arch. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za. Visit strictlybusinesspodcast.com and subscribe to receive exclusive content straight to your inbox. strictlybusinesspodcast.com, made possible by Prudential Investment Managers.